Last week, I did a little yard work out around the rectory. We had a bunch of English ivy, I think it's called, was growing over a bunch of bushes and plants and all around one of the oak trees. And I spent about 3 hours doing it, and I got a few blisters to prove it. It's not the stigmata, by the way. These are blisters. And, working without gloves. And when I went to my mother's house, she's 86, I'm 53, I got a good tongue lashing from my 86-year-old mother. Boy, don't you know what gloves are for? I'm not sorry for you. So mothers never stop being mothers, right? And Father Flo Kale reminds me of the story. He was 80 years old and his mother was 100 and he was living with her. And he had to tell her who he was going out with and when he was going to be back. And if he wasn't back at that time, she would call him. So 100 years old, still mothering, right? But looking at these agricultural things that Jesus used for stories, to make teachings. Also, he would make things of the fishermen and the seaside and so forth. But if we can try to look at creation and see the hand of God, and so it made me think that English ivy is kind of like sin. You know, it's an opportunistic plant. It'll grow over everything and destroy everything else, and by smothering it. And so we have to get rid of that sin in our lives, and we can say that Jesus came with his divine rake, which is the cross, dripping with his blood to destroy that sin, that ivy that tries to take over our lives. And the first reading, Isaiah and Psalm 65, both spoke about the waters coming from the heavens and replenishing the earth and making it fertile, right? And we've certainly had lots of rain every day, it seems like, that we have been receiving. And so that should make us think of the waters of baptism, right? That came from the side of Christ at the cross, the water that poured out from his sacred heart, around that had collected around his sacred heart. And the bread mentioned in our readings today, you know, the water making the earth fertile, the seed planted, the wheat, and from that we make the bread, makes us think of the Holy Eucharist. And so everything in creation can be some kind of a parable or a simile for us to make us think of spiritual things. And it seemed like a lot of the words that we had started with the letter S, and I added a few. So we have sower, seed, soil, soul, sin, savior, and salvation. And one of the other gospels does a further interpretation of this story and says that Jesus is the sower and the seed is the word of God. And the soil, our interpretation, is our soul. And so our soul needs to be receptive to the word of God. And we can ask ourselves, how receptive are we to that word of God? Are we like the path, the first part that Jesus spoke of, where the seed falls on it and just hardly has any dirt on it, really can't take root at all or flower at all? And it says, Jesus says, that's the person who has no understanding of it. And the devil steals away that seed. And you know that the church has been the greatest teaching institution in world history, the Catholic Church. Since Jesus came, we've been teaching. We created universities. We created school systems. We have been teaching for almost 2,000 years now, and we'll continue to do that because understanding is very important. Otherwise, the devil can steal that simple word from a person's mind. But we on ourselves have to be open to learning more. We should have a love for learning, first of all, a lifelong journey, right? I'm still learning about the faith. I'm still reading books, good Catholic books. And I hope that you are too, something that continues to feed your soul and your mind and help you to grow in devotion to the Lord. Yesterday we had the Feast of St. Bonaventure, and he was a very learned man, a Franciscan. Remember, St. Francis was very afraid of learning because he said people can get pride-filled with it. But St. Bonaventure was very good at keeping his devotion to the Lord with all of this learning that he received and obtained. And he always had it be a way of increasing his love and his passion for the Lord. So get you some good Catholic books and podcasts and CDs and so forth, everything that is available, MP3s and whatever else there is that I'm not aware of that keeps coming up, that is a way of transmitting the faith. Secondly, the seed fell on rocky ground. The person receives it with joy, Jesus says, but there's no depth to it, no root. And when persecution and tribulation comes, the person falls away. So some denominations preach a gospel of health and wealth. They want to say that if you love Jesus, then you're going to be healthy and wealthy. You're going to receive all these kinds of blessings. And that is not the case. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were poor. And so that teaching already is obliterated just by that fact, right? We are going to still have the same problems that anybody else has in the world. What's the difference? We have Jesus with us to help us through it. We can lean on his shoulders. He helps us to carry our crosses. That is the main difference. We're still going to have problems. We're still going to have these tribulations in our life, so we should not fall away when the going gets rough, right? That's when the tough get going. We had a good example from Friday's saint, Saint Kateri Takakwitha, the first Native American saint canonized, and she received the faith from the Jesuits, and her family persecuted her for it, and her tribe persecuted her for it, which was similar to wherever the faith was first planted, even in Europe. It doesn't matter what group it was, they were always persecuted, right? And that's just the devil doing his thing. But she was steadfast. She was courageous, and she had the virtue of fortitude in the face of that kind of persecution. And eventually she escaped and went to Canada, where she could go to Mass every day and live her faith totally openly, and just a great example of not caving in to the problems around us. So how can we set down roots, be good seed, and be good soil for that seed? Number one is through a daily life and regimen of prayer and sticking to it, worthy reception of the sacraments, having good holy companions, friends, small faith groups, like we have Come Lord Jesus and other groups as well. And as we said, practicing the virtue of courage, fortitude when things get rough. The third seed fell among the thorns. And Jesus said the person receives it with joy, it takes root, but then the thorns choke it off. And he says that's worldly anxiety and riches, the lure of riches in the world. Kind of like that ivy, when I pulled it off, everything was dead underneath it, you know. And so Jesus basically tells us, trust in God for divine providence for what you need. God is going to provide for you. Don't make that the main focus of your life. Otherwise, you're going to not focus on God himself. And we should practice the virtue of temperance or moderation. I read a great book by John Horvat entitled, it's about our country, and he says, subtitle is Where We've Been, How We Got Here, and Where We Need to Go. And the main title is Return to Order from a Frenzied Economy to an Organic Christian Society. It's a beautiful dissertation on economy and society and culture and faith as well. And he uses a certain term. He calls it frenetic intemperance. Intemperance is a lack of moderation. It's everything, you know, having no control over any of the passions. And then he adds the words frenetic to it, which means it's just this constant kind of crazy pursuit of this. And so what we need to combat frenetic intemperance are the virtues, right? The virtues are the opposite of the vices. And the four cardinal, the moral virtues, are prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. So these are virtues that we have to enact in our lives. And the theological virtues help to perfect them, as well as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we do have the weapons to combat this, and we should use them as much as possible. And then they have the rich soil. This is the person that understands the Word of God. The seed takes root. It bears fruit. Different people, different percentages, right? Some 100%, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And so where are you in your life at this time in this parable? Are you at one particular stage? Or maybe you're a mixture. Like one part of your life might be bearing great fruit. Maybe one other part of your life might be on the rocky ground or the thorny ground. So all good for meditation. The good news is that St. Paul says in our reading from Romans 8 today that we have the first fruits of the Spirit. He's talking about the harvest, using that harvest language like Jesus used. We have the first fruits of the Spirit that has been given to us at our baptism, our confirmation, at every sacrament. And so we are awaiting, he says, the redemption of our bodies, because we feel the weight of the earth and the world itself, right? But eventually even our bodies are going to be in union with our souls and not be so fighting against them, and that will be heavenly glory. So I invite you to meditate on nature and how God can speak to us through nature as well, besides the Word of God and the Scriptures. So I'd like to conclude with a poem by Joseph Plunkett entitled Christ in Creation. I see his blood upon the rose, and in the stars the glory of his eyes. His body gleams amid eternal snows, his tears fall from the skies. I see his face in every flower. The thunder and the singing of the birds are but his voice and carven by his power. Rocks are his written words. All pathways by his feet are worn. His strong heart stirs the ever-beating sea. His crown of thorns is twined with every thorn. His cross is every tree. His cross is every tree. And so we come to the tree here at this altar, and it is heavy with the fruit of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, the antidote to all of the worldly things. It is the grace of God. Let us receive him and see and know whom we are receiving. Amen.